sing and think about our God. Let's think about our God, our Savior and our King, the one who gave it all. He gave up everything. Let's think about the man who shed his precious blood so we could be his friend, his friends until the end, and give our love and praise to him. He is our Savior. Let's think about his Father's heart, so right and true. He's never given up on. Thank you, Lord. Let's think about our love, of love and mercy free. He's washed as white as snow for all eternity. And give our love and praise to him. He is our Savior and our friend. Let's give our love and praise to him. He is our Savior and our friend. You know, this morning, as we just think about who our God is, as he's presented in his word, as we see him demonstrated in nature, the power of his glory, the beauty of his splendor, the only reasonable response is to worship and awe and say, we love you, Lord. We bless your name. Let's do that together. Let's sing. We love, oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just one thought. Just one thought of you. And all we can say is we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, just one thought of you. And all we can say is we love you, Lord. We love you.
We love you for your grace, Lord.
Just one thought of you. And all we can say is we love you, Lord.
Let's sing, let's think.
Let's think about our God, the high and lofty one, who says he's never far from the brokenhearted one. Let's think about our Lord, who formed the stars above, so we could have a glimpse of his glory.
And give,
oh, and give our love and
let's give
our love. Sarah's going to lead us.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Let's all sing Praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
Reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost.
That's why he came.
To redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
Next verse. If you've experienced death recently, the death of a relative, a friend, someone close. In fact, one of my modern-day heroes, Pastor Tim Keller, he just died of cancer this last week. And one of the things that he said, if Jesus truly got up, if Jesus is risen from the dead, then everything's going to be okay. It's the great hope of our faith that because Jesus is risen, we can trust that everything's going to turn out okay. Those areas where it seems like there's no hope and we say, God, why did you allow this to happen? It's going to be answered. It's going to be worked right. That day when the dead will be raised, when the consummation of God's kingdom will come, it's our great hope. Let's stand together and sing this last verse. In the morning that you rose, it's our great hope.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the land had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in love.
last time and sing your will.
Oh, your will, not mine, I surrender all
to your goodness.
Your will, not mine, I surrender all.
And the church said, amen. Can we applaud his goodness this morning? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. What else can we say? What else can we say? We love you.
Who's your one? That's a question we ask our students here at Christian Assembly. Who's one person you are praying for and asking God to use you to bring to Christ? One of the ways we encourage our students to go after their one is to invite them to CA Students. Our mission is clear. CA Students exist to lead students to complete commitment to Christ. One of the ways we accomplish our mission is through First Wednesdays for CA Students and First Saturdays for 678. Though we believe it's always a great week to invite your one or any friend to CA Students in 678, we design the first service of the month in an intentional way to welcome new students and introduce them to our ministry, and most importantly, Jesus. Each First Wednesday and Saturday has a theme and special element, but we'll always have worship and teaching from God's Word. Our next First Wednesday and Saturday will be a luau-themed barbecue on June 3rd and June 7th. Students, come be with us on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. if you're in high school, and Saturday nights at 6 p.m. if you're in junior high. We aren't the same without you. Let's learn how to follow Jesus together.
Amen, amen. Well, we're excited about our first Wednesdays and first Saturdays at 678 and CA Students. We cannot accomplish our mission of leading students to complete commitment to Christ without volunteer leaders, without adults that are on mission with us. And so if you want to serve with us, please come talk to us at the table in the lobby after service or reference your bulletin. Well, welcome. Saturday night, CA church family. It's good to be with you. My name is Levi.
And I'm Britt.
And we are two of the pastors on the CA students team. And for those of you who are new or visiting, please look in the seat back in front of you. You'll find a connection card. You can fill that out. When the offering bags get passed around, you can drop those in. And then definitely join us at the new people's table in the lobby where we have a gift for you. And of course, we want to extend a welcome to those joining us for our online service. Glad you are joining us as well.
Well, a few announcements we have. This coming Monday is our CA Students Car Wash. This is an opportunity for any student that is registered to go to Hume Summer Camp to wash your car to raise funds. And so join us and get your car washed this Monday.
And whether you are new to our church or have been with us for years, please join us for our one-day partnership class that is coming up. Partnership is an important step towards belonging. It's making this church your church. It's an opportunity to meet some of the pastors here to learn our church values. You can register for partnership online.
Amazing. We also have Summer in the Word. So join other women reading God's Word this summer. We'll be reading a few, several books in the Bible, such as Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and there will also be a summer reading plan provided as well.
For CA Students Weekend, it's good to be with you. We're going to move into a time of tithes and offerings. So as we give our tithes and offerings today, let's be thankful that as God's Word says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and worship God with reverence and awe. It from Hebrews 12:28. So you can give in a moment as the offering bags are passed or on our Christian Assembly LA app or our website. If you're new or visiting, please don't feel any obligation to give. Church, thank you for your continued generosity.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord, that we get to see just the handiwork that you are at work in these students' lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much, and we trust you, and we pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
My name is Noelle. I'm on the CA Students team. And one of my very favorite things about CA Students and 678 is the discipleship relationships that form between our volunteer leaders and our students. Paul, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I feel like we get to watch that week after week with our students and leaders. So I have one of our amazing leaders, Leo, up here. Yes. Leo, he leads the eighth grade boys in the eighth grade boys life group. And I have an amazing eighth grade boy student, Judah, up here. And we're going to get to hear just a little bit about their discipleship relationship. So, Leo, how has serving at 678 helped you in your own relationship with Christ?
Yeah, I would say it's just been an amazing reminder that obedience pays off. Week in and week out, I'm just surrounded by all these people who were obedient. They're servants who heard a call to serve God's church in this way. And just their decisions make this atmosphere of joy and encouragement and wisdom. It's a great place. And it encourages me that I can make an impact. I can do something that matters.
So good. And what you do really does matter, Leo. So thank you. And Leo, you were a student in our student ministries. Like, you were a part of 678 and a part of CA Students. So what made you want to come back and serve as a volunteer leader?
Well, I wanted to be a leader just because I had so many great leaders. I had people, mentors, just love on me and give their time and their attention to me. They taught me things, and they really poured into me. And I just, when I think about 678, when I think about CA Students, I see an opportunity to sort of give back in that same way and do what they inspired me, you know, back then.
So good. Yeah, Leo, you are a disciple who's making disciples. And so that's so cool to know that so many leaders invested in your personal relationship with God. And here you are now investing in Judah's relationship with God, as well as many other eighth grade boys. So, Judah, how has Leo impacted your faith? How has God used Leo to help you grow in your relationship with Christ?
Well, I don't think we have gone 1 week without having a prayer request or a prayer time. So I think he's done really well with that. So I thank you, Leo, for doing that. Yay. He's definitely stirred up my faith in prayer and many other things. And I really appreciate that. And he's also just made me pumped up for living a godly Christ life.
So good. Come on. Wow. Well, Judah, thanks for being somebody who seeks out leaders to say, hey, I want help growing in my relationship with God. Well, Judah, I would love to hear, what's one of your favorite things about 678? Or what would you say to a middle schooler who was thinking about coming to 678, but maybe they were on the fence?
Me personally, at the beginning, I was also on the fence, but as soon as I took that step and I jumped in head first, I was embraced and loved by everyone, not only Leo, but some of the great other leaders like Jake and Levi and Isaac, who I don't know if he's here, but I was just loved by those guys, and I was really embraced for who I was, and no matter what.
So good, so good. Come on. Amazing, amazing. Well, hey, if you want to be a part of this discipleship ministry that's happening, we would love to have you serve with us at CA Students or at 678. So please go to the lobby, learn some more about it, check out the bulletin. We would love that. But can we just give it up one more time for Leo and Judah?
Thanks, Noelle. Thanks, Leo. Thanks, Judah. Hey, CA Church fam. My name is Jake. I have the honor and the privilege of being the lead pastor of CA Students in 678, and I'm just so thankful to be with you. As someone in the younger generation, I just want to give honor to all of you fathers and mothers in the faith. I just want to give you honor and say, as the younger generation, we love you, and we need you, and I'm so thankful for you, and I want you to know that we as a church, us as a younger generation, we look to you
and we need you, and we admire your faith. I also want to briefly just give honor to all those who have lost their lives in service to our country. So I want to say happy Memorial Day weekend. Can we give honor to all those who have lost their lives? So thankful for them. Church family, I heard it said recently that it's not necessarily whole books that change our lives. Sentences have the power to change our lives. I remember a sentence that has gripped me and impacted me deeply. It's from the film version of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, at the Battle of Pelennor Fields. I'll try not to nerd out too hard right now. But it's a decisive battle in the story where, you know, it's going to dethrone a pretender. It's going to bring the king home in glory. It's going to unite the two kingdoms of men. And ultimately, it's going to set up the final battle that's going to, spoiler alert, good's going to triumph over evil. But as this army is about to charge the battle line, the kingdom of Rohan is going to go save the day, Gondor. The heroine, Eowyn, is on this horse with her little hobbit friend, Merry. And they're about to charge into this battle. And this line has always stuck with me. Maybe you've seen it. But as they're about to charge into this battle, maybe lose their lives, Eowyn puts her arm around Merry and just whispers, "Courage, Merry. Courage for our friends." And that line has just stuck with me because Eowyn is just putting courage in to Merry. And I don't know about you, but I can think of so many times in my life where through a word or through an action, someone has put courage into me. They've added strength to my soul. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, there's a word for putting courage in someone. It's the word encourage. N, a word-forming element that can mean to put in, and courage, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, or withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Does anybody need some strength tonight? Hearing that definition. I love it. Here's what I'm so excited to tell you, church family. We can add strength to one another. We can put courage in one another. We have this amazing opportunity that we can be encouragers. Today, I want to learn from a giant of the faith who was given the nickname Barnabas. That means the son of encouragement. Anybody ready to talk about encouragement tonight? Let me say a prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for this church. God, would you encourage our hearts? Would you put courage in us? In Jesus' name, amen. You can refer to your bulletin if you'd like to take notes and follow along with the scriptures. They'll also be on the screen. A Jewish Levite from Cyprus, whose name was Joseph, came to faith in Jesus Christ, and the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas. Why did he get the name Barnabas? What can we learn from Barnabas' life about encouragement? The first time we hear about Barnabas is in Acts chapter 4. Jesus has already died for our sins. He's risen from the grave, and he's ascended on high to heaven, and he's poured out the Spirit at Pentecost. And by the way, this is Pentecost weekend, where the church around the world, yeah, come on, thank God for Pentecost weekend, where we remember and we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that God poured out on his church. I recently memorized the verse Habakkuk 3:2 that just says, "Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known." And so I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, we've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day, Lord. In our time, make them known. Pour out your Spirit in a fresh way on Christian Assembly and on your church around the globe, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to Acts 4. The early church has just been born. God's grace is powerfully at work in the believers, and generosity is overflowing. At this exciting time, we read this.
Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas is set forth as this example of gospel generosity that responds to the grace of God. The first point about encouragement we learned from Barnabas' story is this. Encouragement generously flows from a heart transformed by the gospel, by the grace of God. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news that in fulfillment of the whole story of the Bible, Jesus, Lord in Christ, lived to usher in God's kingdom. He died to save us from our sins. He rose from the grave, conquering death, and he's seated, enthroned with the Father, and one day he'll come again to consummate history. Anyone who repents of their sin and believes in him is made right with God, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and is guaranteed eternal life. Woo, come on! The gospel's good news. I love Romans 8:32 that says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The generosity of God, the grace of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Church, when we truly realize and receive the extravagant love and generosity in the gospel, in the grace of God, the natural, or should I say supernatural, response is to respond in gratitude and in generosity. God's generous grace in the gospel produced in Barnabas an extravagant generosity, and one of the forms generosity can take is encouragement. I hope to say it over and over again. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. I think about how it's free for us to say words of encouragement, and yet it might just change someone's life forever. It's free. What an opportunity. Encouragement can be in both words and actions. In Barnabas' life, we first see how he uses actions in his generous giving to add strength to the early church. I'd love to take a moment to just say a huge thank you to all of you who regularly give to God's work here at CA. Thank you. You're adding strength to our family. And I don't know about you, but when I hear about, when I think about, when I see what we're doing as a church family in Los Angeles and across the world in Jesus' name, I'm encouraged. What we're doing together as a family, praise God, thank you. And I also want to encourage those of you who are Christians but are not yet giving to start to give. Yes, it's a step of obedience to the Lord, but also what an opportunity to remember what we've received in the grace of God and respond in generosity and add strength to your family. Come on. Encouragement generously flows from a heart transformed by the gospel, but it's not just in our financial giving. We also have a chance to be an encouragement every time we relate to one another. The second point is this. Encouragement empowers God's plan in other people's lives. Wow. What an opportunity, church. Church, the person you, I'm talking to you, but also to the person right next to you, your life matters so much. Your life in God matters so much. Your life in Christ matters so much. And it can be easy to get discouraged and to leave the path, to give up in the fight, to give up on the race. We need to encourage each other, church. We need to use our words for life and not for death. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I want to show you this amazing verse and this amazing story of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. You know, an important figure in Christianity, under the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote 13 books in our Bible today. He was, you know, a violent persecutor of the church, but then he encounters Jesus, and all of a sudden, he wants to join Team Jesus, and all the disciples of Jesus are like, no way! Like, you cannot join our team, because they're afraid of him. But check this out. Acts 9:26-28. When he came to Jerusalem, that's Saul, who would become Paul, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, to the apostles. Church family, in whose life will there be a "but Barnabas" moment, but it's with your name. Amen. But Barnabas took him in and took him to the apostles. Who will you encourage? He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how he in Damascus had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Barnabas saw in Paul what others couldn't see because of their fear. He saw God had a plan to use him and he called it out in Paul. What would have happened had Barnabas not encouraged Saul to Paul? God is sovereign and he's going to build his church, but could it be that Paul's life would have looked so different? The early church's life would have looked so different had it not been for Barnabas adding strength to Paul and speaking up for him. Part of encouragement is calling out of people what you see in them with godly discernment. Part of encouragement that can be the difference of life and death is saying, hey, I see this in you. I see this God destiny in you, and I'm calling it out of you. Check out this story from the Old Testament. David is running for his life. He's been anointed to be the king of Israel, and the current king, King Saul, this is Old Testament King Saul, is trying to kill David. So David's hiding in some caves, and Jonathan, David's best friend, inconveniences himself to find David and encourage him. Let's read this amazing passage, 1 Samuel 23:15 through 17. One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and kill him. Here we go. Jonathan went to David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. And then listen to what he says. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You're going to be king of Israel, David. And I'll be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. Did you see what Jonathan did? First, he encouraged him, stay strong in your faith in God. And that's true encouragement. But then he called out in David his God-given destiny. Church family, the strongest encouragement comes from being reminded of what God has already spoken. Amen. That's why the word of God is such a powerful way to encourage one another. Think of the people in your life, CA. Have you considered how you might encourage them lately to add strength to their soul? What an opportunity to do that. Have you prayed about and talked to them about God's plan for their lives? What if you were meant to be their Jonathan to David or their Barnabas to Paul, but Barnabas took him in? What an opportunity. When you think of encouragement like Barnabas, don't just think of generic nice words. The third point for today is the best encouragement inspires toward Christ. Amen. The best encouragement inspires towards Christ. In Acts 11, Luke narrates the founding of the multi-ethnic church in Antioch. Astonishingly for the time, Jews and Gentiles were coming together because of their shared allegiance and faith in King Jesus. And Antioch would be the launching point for the widespread Christian mission to the Gentiles. When the early church heard about this, they wanted to send someone to confirm the good news. And who'd they send? They sent the son of encouragement, Barnabas, who would also be at the center of the initial launch of the gospel to the Gentiles. Let's read about it in verse 23. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I love how Barnabas encourages the church. He doesn't just use generic nice words, but he encourages them to remain true to the Lord. Church family, encouragement is a tool that can be used for good or bad purposes. If I encourage my friend to, I don't know, do drugs or cheat on his taxes or watch a show that tempts him to lust and damages his faith or in any way not take sin seriously, I'm being an encourager, but the wrong kind of encourager. Encouragement makes things grow. Encouraging sin makes sin grow. Encouraging things that just don't really matter at all makes things that don't really matter at all grow. But encouraging godliness, encouraging the God-given destiny over their life, That makes those things grow. Amen. Encouragement is only as good as the goal of encouragement, the final goal of encouragement, which is faithfulness to Christ. That's what Barnabas encouraged the church in Antioch to do. Remain true to the Lord with all your hearts. That's the kind of encouragement we want to give. We want to add strength to people's lives to live for what matters most. As we all know, church family, it can be easy to get blinded to what matters most. It can be easy to all of a sudden be unable to see the worth of Christ because of discouragement, deception, disillusionment, temptation. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, and it can be so tempting to give up. Part of the solution is for us as a church to be constant encouragers of one another, constantly adding strength to one another. Look at this amazing passage in Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. That means all the time. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is a big deal. Yeah, amen. And what an opportunity. That what if our words were the ones that help someone not turn away from the living God? Can you see the point of true encouragement in this passage? To remain true to the Lord. True encouragement inspires towards faithfulness to Christ. True encouragement empowers to see the glory of Christ. True encouragement reminds us of the reward of faithfulness. True encouragement empowers us to fight the good fight and to finish the race. And I want to take a moment to encourage a few groups of people. First of all, to my dear students of 678 and CA students, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the way that you're willing to follow Jesus, and even when it makes you feel different. I'm proud of the way that you worship. I'm proud of the way that you invite your friends to CA students in 678 to talk to them about Jesus. I'm proud of the way that you welcome them when they come. Hosea 6:3 says, let us press on to know the Lord. CA students in 678, let us press on to know the Lord. I'm convinced of better things for you, that you won't just make it in your faith, but that you'll be world changers for Jesus in his name. Come on. Parents, I want to encourage you. Way to go in your intentional discipleship of your children. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. Oh, parents, don't give up pointing your students to Jesus. We need you. We love you. We really do. I was thinking about me and my bride, Noelle. We have a date night or a date day every week. And during that time, we're intentional to ask each other four questions. And one of the questions is, hey, what was something you saw encouraging in me this week? That's just a tradition that we have. What if in our families as this church, we made a regular rhythm of encouraging one another? To all of us who volunteered, all of you who volunteer your time at CA, not just in CA students, I want to thank you and encourage you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you for serving. I want to encourage you, even if you don't see the immediate results or the immediate fruit, that's true. No labor in the Lord is ever in vain. And Ephesians 6:7-8 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good you do. God will reward you for each and every good thing you do. Let's keep on serving one another and contending together to make disciples of all nations, or as we like to say, to lead the spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to complete commitment to Jesus Christ. And our mission leads me to encourage us as a church family. Way to go, CA. Making disciples and extending Jesus' kingdom through LA and through around the world. Just as the master in Jesus' parable and the servant said, well done, good and faithful servant. I believe God wants to encourage us in so many ways that we've been faithful. Well done, good and faithful CA. You're a faithful church. You're living faithful to his word. And I believe God is encouraging us to keep being faithful. Sometimes encouragement indeed sounds like celebration. Way to go. Keep going. And at other times, encouragement can sound like comfort. And the encouragement to not give up, to try again. That kind of encouragement is necessary because we all fall short and get discouraged sometimes. The best encouragement is not just generic words, but it inspires towards Christ. The fourth point for tonight is this. Everyone needs encouragement, and everyone can be an encourager. CA family, I just want to say, first of all, I believe we're doing such a great job at this. We are an encouraging church. We're encouraging one another. We're using our words for good and not for evil. And I just want to set the bar even higher. What if we all truly believed with all our hearts, Ephesians 4:29, that says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Everything you say. What if we were a church that even more to the next level believed Proverbs 18:21 that just says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we believe and we would use our tongue with life. What if we believed James 3, you know, when it says, you know, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father and then we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness? With the same mouth come praise and then cursing? My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. One of the marks of being born again, of having the Spirit indwelling us, is our words change. Our words are changed. We recognize that our words have the power of life and death. And we use our words to encourage one another, to add strength to one another's souls. Because your life matters so much. Your life in God matters so much. Life is short. Eternity's long. It's coming, and we want to encourage each other, add strength to one another to stay faithful to Christ. Everyone needs encouragement, and everyone can be an encourager. I love the example of Barnabas and his cousin, John Mark. John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, and he went with Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys. But unfortunately, when the going got tough, John Mark abandoned Paul and Barnabas and left. Sometime after, Paul and Barnabas wanted to return to where they had gone to visit the churches and see how everyone was doing. And of course, Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. But Paul didn't. And we can understand Paul's hesitation. He wanted to bring someone he knew would be trustworthy on this dangerous, important mission. Paul set off with Silas, and John Mark and Barnabas went on a missionary journey. And what I want to focus on is we should be thankful that Barnabas encouraged and believed in John Mark. Because you know what John Mark is also known as? Mark. And he gave us the gospel of Mark. Imagine if nobody had believed in John Mark. Nobody had encouraged him. Imagine if Barnabas hadn't encouraged John Mark. What if we didn't have the gospel of Mark? What I also want to add is that John Mark failed really in a serious way. But he still became such an encouragement through the gospel of Mark. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to encourage us, even if we feel like we failed, even if there's some reason you might be disqualifying yourself from being an encouragement, no. God's grace qualifies you to be an encouragement. We've all fallen short, so we all need encouragement. Listen, church family, encouragement is not only a reward for a job well done, it also empowers for a job well done. Yeah. Encouragement is not just an effect, it can be a cause. I believe Barnabas' encouragement of John Mark was used by God to bring about all the good that came from John Mark's life. Brothers and sisters, don't disqualify yourself from being an encourager. Even if you failed greatly, don't say, encouragement just isn't my thing. I don't really like people. No, or I don't have that spiritual gift. I'm not good at encouraging others. No, God has called us to be an encouragement to one another. No matter our personality type, encouragement is not an emotion. It's a decision. Decide to be a Barnabas. Who's going to have that but Barnabas in their story because you decided to encourage them? Everyone needs encouragement, and everyone can be and encourager. Aiden, will you join me? It takes courage to be faithful to Christ. It takes endurance and strength to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What an opportunity, church family, that we can add strength to one another, to be an encouragement. Think of all the things that happened from Barnabas's life and his encouragement. The church was empowered, encouraged, and strengthened through his generous gift of property. The apostle Paul was trusted and empowered to fulfill his call. The gospel spreading beyond Jews to Gentiles was empowered and legitimized. John Mark was restored, and now we have the gospel of Mark. These are huge deals. Think about what God could do through your encouragement, through you adding strength to someone's soul. What an opportunity. What an opportunity that we can add strength to one another. Can you believe it? I like to tell our students, you have a superpower. It's in your words. Our words have the power of life and death. Let's use it for life. Encouragement helps us to hold on to the hope that we have and live for what matters most. I want to conclude with one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, church, how we may spur another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What an opportunity to add strength to one another. Let's pray. As we do, consider some of the people in your life God has used to encourage you to be faithful to him. Thank God for those people. I encourage you to tell those people that God has used them to encourage you. Gratitude encourages encouragers to keep on encouraging others. Then, I want to encourage you to reflect on who God might be calling you to encourage and empower toward the thing and the things that are good for them and are in accordance with God's word. As you think about those people, pray for them even now. But also make a commitment to do some tangible act to encourage them. Maybe a text, a call, a word of encouragement in person. Romans 15, 5 through 6 says that may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other, that with one voice and one mind you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is the God who gives endurance and encouragement. What an opportunity. So Father, I come before you now. And Lord, I pray, I notice, God, that when encouragement is happening in a room, your Holy Spirit just loves to dwell, loves to come. And so I just pray that this church, Christian Assembly, would be marked by encouragement, God. That we would be people that use the power of our words to bring life and not death, to call out the God-given destiny in one another and encourage one another. God, thank you. We need encouragement. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the great encourager. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.